How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day. Hey there, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Hey, did you know, Jay King, that we are the fastest growing sports audio network in the world?
I did not know that until you just told
me,
John.
We are. The Locked On Podcast Network is currently the fastest growing sports audio network in the world. And
Probably because of the Locked On Celtics podcast, to be honest.
We are the driving force behind that growth on the Locked On Podcast Network. The Rain and Jays, me, John Corrales, and Jay King mostly, we are driving the fastest growing sports audio network in the world. But we are here to kick off the week. We are your daily podcast for the Celtics, and this is the last week of the preseason. We have spent an entire summer lamenting the fact that nothing was going on, and all of a sudden, Jay, the preseason is over this week. So
it comes quickly.
It really flies.
Thank God. I'm about done with preseason. Although RJ Hunter's show was pretty special the other night.
Oh,
I guess
yes.
Last night, yeah.
Yes. That was fun to watch.
I know you must have loved that.
I'm a big fan of the Hunter hype train, so I thought that was really nice to justify some of the things that I've been saying about him. I like his feel for the game, but we're not going to really talk about RJ Hunter because tonight's not the night to talk about the battle for the 15th or 14th spot on the roster, because I know that RJ is not going to play a ton of minutes this season. We are going to kick off this week knowing that with two games left, we have learned everything we're going to learn about the preseason. There's no big surprise that's happening. So we're going to look at today the lessons that we have learned from the Celtics preseason. So, Jay, we got to start this off with our big free agent acquisition. Yeah. Let's just take a minute to gush about Al Horford.
So someone tweeted us and called this an algasm.
I love it.
I'm not sure who tweeted that. I'm too lazy right now to go back and check who did that. But yeah, we're gonna have another algasm. Al Horford is everything the Celtics I expected the Celtics to get and more. He is like as I've said a lot of times. You knew exactly what he was going to provide, that he was going to be a better passer, more athletic. He was going to be able to switch better. He was going to be able to drive and to shoot. And then when you actually see it in action and you see how much he opens up for the Celtics and you see that he helps Avery Bradley be a facilitator and you see how open he gets Isaiah Thomas for a three-pointer on the right wing sometimes, and you see how quickly he can convert a defensive rebound into a bucket at the other end, and you're like, oh my goodness, Al Horford is better than I anticipated. So
yeah,
algasm number, what is this, 8 or 9? Algasm.
I don't know. It's happening. It's
a lot of algasms.
It's multiple algasms because it happens every time I see him play. And it's funny because you and I are the same. We'll watch other teams play. If it's a Celtics game night, we'll watch the Celtics. We'll do our post-game Celtics stuff and then go back and turn on whatever league pass and watch games. I've seen Al Horford play basketball before.
Yeah.
There's something about watching him play for your team
that makes it
different.
He has such a subtle impact. But it's not even really subtle. Like, when you really watch for it, it's it jumps the hell out. Like, it is very, very obvious. But it's not like he's out there scoring 30 points, grabbing 15 rebounds. It's just he does not a little bit of everything. He does a lot of bit of everything for his team. And obviously, you don't get to appreciate that when you don't watch him every night. But when you do, and especially when you're coming from watching Jared Sullinger, Amir Johnson, guys who are good enough basketball players but flawed, then you see Al Horford, and it's just another level of talent. And it just jumps out, man. It jumps out not just how good he is, but how good he is for everybody else. He makes everything a lot easier for every single player on that roster. They are all going to be better because of Al Horford.
Absolutely. It's a very, when you
so
talk
many
about
orgasms, so many,
so orgasms. Many, so many, so many, I just can't stop. But when you watch him play, when you look at when you measure the impact of a really good player, one of the factors is how does he make the other guys on the team? A lot of guys are really good, but they don't make other guys on the team better. Al Horford makes other guys on the team better. And it's not necessarily that he himself is going to put up a million different statistics. It's just that he just makes everybody better. That's his goal. His goal is to enhance the team. And we busted Danny Ainge's balls when it came to the Kevin Garnett comparison, and it's not necessarily the same type of player.
You're going to throw out the KG comparison too, aren't
but,
you? Oh,
but
man.
It's not that we're comparing him and KG in a personal level. Like, they're totally different players, but their impact, their goals, I think Al Horford and Kevin Garnett walk into the game with the same goal in mind. They do it in very different ways.
So do Kevin Garnett and Matthew Dellavedova.
No, don't even do that. Don't do that.
I'm just saying.
We're talking about quality NBA players at that position being able to impact the game. Like, this is, we're talking about good players here. I'm trying to give Danny Ainge a little bit of the, I get what he's talking about.
Yeah.
It's not like, I'm not comparing their level of ability. I'm not comparing their crazy approach. I'm just saying that when it comes to a guy at that position who is very, very highly skilled, who could go off for his own offense, they walk into the game with the same approach. So I'm kind of getting what Ainge is talking about. I'm not going to compare the two and say that they're equal or anything like that. Like, don't be stupid. I get it. I'm just saying that I get what Ainge is trying to do when he compares those guys, that their impact is very similar in that their approach is team-oriented when they could be very self-centered.
John, Tommy Hines and Corrales over here.
Look, I didn't say that Greg Stiemsma was Bill Russell. Okay.
You should have gone with the Stiemsma Horford comparison.
Come on, man.
By the way, one of my favorite parts of the preseason has been watching Tommy Heinsohn flip so quickly about Al Horford. He was calling him overrated, I think, during the playoffs. I'm not sure if that was the exact term, but basically he said Horford wasn't as good as people thought. And now
Al Horford is the best.
Damn, that dude can play.
It's true.
That has been one of my favorite subplots of the preseason. Just seeing how quickly Tommy Heinsohn realized that Al Horford was a lot better than he realized before.
Yeah. No, and I get that Tommy is probably trying to put down the competition a little bit, but yeah. There's no denying that Al Horford is just
algasms.
Algasms all over the place, all over the place. Just so, just awesome. It's so funny that we spent so much time justifying the level of talent on this team in the past, and now we've got this really, really good guy, and it just becomes, oh, yeah, I didn't realize how good a good player could be.
Yeah.
It's just so great.
It really is. Like, the discrepancy in talent between him and all the guys who played those minutes before him. God damn. Al Gasms everywhere.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on so it's not a big, like, Al Gasm fest. But Al is part of the starting five, and that starting five is not what we thought it would be. And we've talked about this a little bit, but one of the lessons that we learned in the preseason is that the Isaiah, Bradley, Crowder, Horford, Johnson starting lineup is a really good starting lineup, and our bench is going to need Kelly Olynyk when he comes back and healthy, whenever his doctor comes back and is available. What the hell is wrong with his doctor?
Yeah, that is a weird, weird
story.
What
the hell is going on there? This is the Celtics. This is the NBA team.
Can someone get my man a doctor for a reevaluation of his shoulder?
What is going on here?
Absurd.
I don't know.
So he was scheduled.
There are no orthopedic guys.
For those who don't know, he was scheduled for a reevaluation of his surgically repaired shoulder this weekend in New York, and somehow it wasn't really explained how his doctor was not in town and he couldn't have the appointment, and now he's not cleared when he might have otherwise been cleared for contact. Would somebody get this man a shoulder doctor somewhere? Just any shoulder doctor, please.
Let me tell you, between Boston and New York City, those are two of the meccas of the healthcare industry. There's got to be a goddamn shoulder doctor around to say, yes, this looks good. Come on.
Yeah.
I don't get that at all. But I digress. I'm calm. Zen.
Yeah, you sound so calm.
I'm calm. I'm totally calm now. I've relaxed.
That was Tommy Hines and Corrales again, I think.
Oh, give me a break. Whenever he comes back, whenever a shoulder doctor happens to be available, we have come to the conclusion collectively. I think we independently have come to the conclusion that Olynyk off the bench is probably a better idea. And actually with Sam Packard, we came to the same idea that not only him coming off the bench would be a good idea rotationally, it gets him an opportunity to have probably a little more confidence as a primary scorer. And he's kind of thrust into a role that we have wanted him to take, the primary scorer type of mentality where you have to be aggressive, you have to attack the rim, you have to take the shots. And if he comes off of the bench, then he is being asked to do those things. If he was starting, then he would be a fourth or fifth option, and that plays into his naturally passive tendencies. So forcing him to be a primary guy coming off the bench, and this is all Sam Packard's point, I like that idea. So him coming off the bench not only provides a boost to their scoring, but it forces him to take that role that we've all wanted him to take. So I like that idea more than I ever have. So Amir Johnson is the starter. Kelly Olynyk is one of the primary guys off the bench. And that's a lesson that we have learned this preseason.
And you know what? Both the guards who should get more ball handling responsibilities, Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier, have been pretty good. Smart still can't shoot outside at all, but his pick and roll game has looked improved. His finishing has looked much improved. He's hit pull-up jumpers inside the arc pretty routinely. And Rozier, he's really scoring at an efficient clip right now. So if those guys can keep that up and Jaylen Brown can continue providing up and down, like, brilliance, screw-ups, whatever else, everything else. and Olynyk can come in and help, and Jarebko is going to be Jarebko. That bench has potential to be pretty good. And I think the biggest question mark, as we've said all along, is with Smart and Rozier. And those two guys really, I think, have played well during preseason, both of them. I think the Celtics have to figure out who should take the ball handling responsibilities. And I'm mixed about who should do that, because I think Terry Rozier is a more point guardy player. Like, he's just really fluid with his movements. He gets to the paint really easy. He's really quick, explosive, everything kind of you want a point guard to be. Smart isn't really all of that, but he's probably better with the ball in his hands. And he's gotten pretty good operating out of the pick and roll. And you just don't want him spotting up. So I go back and forth on who I want to handle the ball with that group. And it's probably for the best that both of them share some of those responsibilities. And they both get to kind of grow up in both of those roles and be more versatile, each of them, while they figure out what the hell they're going to be as NBA players. Because both those guys are so young, they're still figuring everything out. So I go back and forth with who should handle the primary creator role, but both those guys, again, have been very impressive throughout preseason. And that bench, once Olynyk gets back, could be pretty good. Tyler Zeller hasn't been great, but everybody else has had pretty good moments, at least during preseason.
Poor Tyler Zeller.
Yeah.
Tyler just keeps getting the short end. Sorry, Tyler. Let's get to some tweets. Because we have been asking you to tweet with the hashtag Rain and Jays during games, whatever you see, your observations, you send them to us and we'll read them on the air and we'll get to them. Before I do that, let me just say that I want to thank people who have subscribed to the show. If you are a subscriber and you haven't given us 5-star ratings, please do that, because that helps boost our rankings
and our egos.
Primarily our egos, but our rankings, as we're trying to pretend that that's what we're really going after. And when we say the fastest growing sports audio network in the world, that's what happens when you rank us higher. We'd like that. So if you do that, if you are just coming to the show and you're new, search Locked On Celtics, search Raining Jays, and subscribe to us, and also give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe to other shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. Check on the Locked On NBA Eastern Conference Preview. It's in two parts. We have participated in that and given our part with the Celtics. Just check that out. Download that show. Subscribe to that. It's a great overview of the league. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.
So let's get to the Twitter comments here. One comment comes from @Dijon_Rondo. Again, I love these Twitter names, man. I love the way you guys put your Twitter names together. Can we stop with the smart as is not a primary ball handler stuff yet? Definitely more point guardish than Rozier.
Ooh. See, Rozier's more point guardy, and now we come with the alternative point.
I'm going with this. I am thinking that Smart is more point guardy than Rozier, because Rozier has a better jumper, and I think Rozier is better off the ball. He can catch and shoot. I think he can spot up and hit shots at a higher clip than Smart and use that to get to the – if there's an aggressive closeout, he can still get past the defender, and then he can use his point guard skills to drive, dish, or score, whereas Marcus Smart is not an outside shooter at this point. And I'm starting to question whether his new shot is ever going to catch on, if he will ever be an outside shooter. Yeah,
I mean, it's a little too early to question that. Although, you can question his shot. You could question his shot at any point of
his third
career.
It's his third year. But my point is that what we have seen, if we're talking about lessons we've learned this preseason, that he has been passing very well, and he has been very aggressive in getting to the rim. So, like you said, the ball in his hands, that's probably better for Marcus Smart. So you play Rozier off the ball, and we're flipping what we thought would be the situation. And maybe defensively, Marcus Smart is the jack of all trades, but on offense, maybe Marcus Smart should be the guy that has the ball in his hands and is initiating an offense, so he's not catching and shooting. So he's bringing the ball up and passing and getting off the ball, and then other things happen in the offense. So I'm kind of liking the idea of Smart as a primary ball handler because he can pass and drive. And Rozier has a much better jumper. I like that dynamic. I think I like that dynamic better than Rozier as the primary backup point guard, quote unquote, and Smart just kind of playing wherever.
I'm cool with them splitting it. I think at Danger Cart tweeted this, that he said the key rests in the 1999 UConn team, which I guess I don't know that UConn team as well as he does, but apparently they had one guy who handled the ball in full court opportunities, like transition opportunities. That would be Rozier for the Celtics. And then another person who handled it in the half court, which was Smart. And I'm okay with that. Cool. Because Terry Rozier is much, much faster. If you go full court, he might be the better point guard, might have a better chance of converting buckets in transition. So, I mean, I don't know if that's at all feasible to do that. But I don't have a strong opinion one way or the other on this one. I think both guys are looking promising for not just now, but also for the future. And they're both developing as ball handlers. They're both developing as creators. Hopefully Smart can develop that shot, because that's really the only thing that's keeping him from being a great, great player. But yeah, they're both growing. I'm okay. I don't have strong feelings one way or the other about which one is point guard and which one's off guard. Just let him play. Let him play.
Yeah. I agree with that to a point. But I think I'm a little further along than you. I think that Smart is definitely better with the ball in his hands, and I think Rozier can probably play better off the ball. So I think that's a shift from what I thought coming in. And so I'd rather see Rozier pulling up for a jumper than Smart pulling up for a jumper at this point.
Yeah.
And Smart has shown, look, he's a strong guy and he's smart. He's intelligent. He can make a good pass. And I think he's got good instincts when it comes to that. And he's strong, so he can get to the rim. And I think he can get a bulk of his points from driving and scoring or getting free throws. So I think I'd like to see Smart with the ball in his hands more. And I think I'd like to see Rozier off the ball a little bit more.
Smart's
so
starting to get a little craftier, by the way. A little craftier with his finishes. Like that off leg thing he's doing now, like that kind of Steve Nash thing. That's kind of like your Kevin Garnett comparison. I am not at all comparing Marcus Smart to Steve Nash. But Nash.
Oh, wait, like, what? No, are you what? Okay, Tommy Heinsohn.
Nash used to jump off the wrong leg because he wanted to finish quickly before the defender could adjust. And Smart has started to do that lately. He missed one the other day, but that is something he can definitely use, because he's not the quickest guy. He is not the most explosive guy going to the hoop. He's strong and he's getting craftier, but he's a guy who needs to use tricks like that, because he's never going to be upper echelon athlete among point guards.
I agree with that. I agree with that assessment. I think his strength is going to be his biggest strength. Very Austin Powers there. Allow myself to introduce myself. But I think his physical power is going to be one of his biggest strengths. So it's not going to be his speed. It's going to have to be crafty and using that power to get himself to finish.
Get diesel.
Moving. He's a big dude. He's a big dude, and I think he can use that to his advantage. Okay, back to Twitter. At Patrick's 1591. How likely do you think it is Jaylen Brown ends up? Okay, let me rephrase that. I'm going to make this sound like it's coherent. How likely do you think Jaylen Brown ends up getting more playing time than Gerald Green?
At this point, yes, Jaylen Brown will get more playing time than Gerald Green. Last two games?
But how much?
Yeah, I mean, it's still preseason. There's still so much to iron out. But last two games, Gerald Green has sat out the entire first half both times. And I said this on a previous podcast. This is a guy who needs to play. He missed the first two games. This is a new team for him. If they considered him in the rotation, he would be playing first half minutes. But he's not. Jaylen Brown is, because Jaylen Brown is pretty good. He is a complete roller coaster. He does some stupid freaking things. Last game, there were a couple times he was dribbling straight ahead and dribbled almost straight into a defender. Like, here you go. Would you like this basketball, sir? And then he makes other moves that are like, whoa, that is like a superstar move right there, Jaylen. Where'd that come from? And he just does, there's a lot of awesome, awesome things that he does. The last game, he blocked a shot, stole the ball, and went the other way for a Euro step layup.
Euro step finish, yeah, that was great. That was great.
7 seconds. It took him 7 seconds to do all of that.
All of it. All of it. That was amazing. It was an amazing sequence.
It was unreal. What other guy can do all of that? He rotated across the lane. It wasn't even his guy, and it was a big guy, blocked him, get the freak out of here, and then stole it from him, beat everyone down court. Euro, like,
censorship.
That was an unreal sequence from a 19-year-old kid who's not even 20 years old. Are you kidding me? So I'm fully on board the Jaylen Brown train right now. He has so many things he needs to learn about basketball. It is the list of things that he needs to get educated about is so long. Carmelo Anthony treated him like a child.
All
I'm going to do is up fake, and you're going to jump, and I'm going to draw a foul, and that's how this is going to go, Jaylen. And that's how it went. But still, Jaylen Brown, man, so many good things from that kid throughout preseason. He is so promising. And I think right now, Gerald Green's a better shooter. Gerald Green may be like a better scorer. Jaylen Brown's better at everything else, and he's so versatile. And even if he wasn't better at everything else, maybe he's not as I think he is right now at most things. It's close enough. You have to give him those minutes. He's 19. He's going to be with the team for a long, long time. Gerald Green isn't. So I'm fully on board Jaylen Brown playing minutes right away, playing minutes at the 3, at the 4, wherever else. The Celtics, I think they're committed to playing him minutes because he deserves them, man. That kid deserves minutes. He's not going to hurt you too much, and sometimes he's going to help you.
Yeah, no, sure. That's fair. I will say that the book on Jaylen Brown right now is that he bites on fakes hard. So I've seen him.
The matchup was so funny.
I forget who it was in the Charlotte game that faked him through the roof. Even that video from practice where Marcus Smart faked him out like crazy. Right now, he bites on fakes hard. So priority number one for the Celtics and Jaylen Brown is stop biting on fakes, because
stay
he is
on
getting
your goddamn feet.
He is getting faked the hell out. This is just bad. It's just stop getting faked out. It's a rookie thing, but right now he is over anxious and he is very jumpy, and you just give him a little bit of a fake and he's flying through. And he's such a great athlete that when he bites on a fake, his athleticism takes over and he's really, it's like clearing the backboard. There's just no recovery. It's not like a guy who bites on a fake and just leaves his feet for like a few inches. He's butting hard. So Jaylen just needs to relax and recognize what's going on and recognize that, look, if I, who host a podcast, can understand throw him an up fake and you'll be good. NBA teams have already been like, just up fake Jaylen Brown. Like, everybody knows in the NBA, you just up fake Jaylen Brown and you're going to get to the rim. So just chill out, kid. Just relax and just play some good defense. And the thing about him is he's so athletic. You don't have to bite on the up fake. You can wait till the guy jumps and then you can jump after him and you still get to the shot. Like, you don't have to sit there and jump on every fake. Just let him fake. Just let him fake. And then when he actually leaves his feet, you have such an athletic advantage that you can jump up and block or challenge that shot.
Like
you don't
like
have to
Avery
beat that
Bradley.
Guy. Seriously. No, it's exactly right. So that has to be the point that gets hammered home. But I digress. This is
I like that rant. That was a nice little Jalen Brown,
a little coachy
going rant.
A little
yeah.
coachy.
Yeah.
A little something, a little basketball knowledge.
I like
a little something, a little something for the kid.
A little something, you know? Something.
You know, Jalen, you know, I know Jalen listens to the podcast. I think this is just a little something that's gonna help him out. So whatever. Okay, so those are – I agree with you, by the way. I think that in the end, Gerald will get fewer minutes, and you should get Jaylen Brown more minutes. And I love that they're throwing him to the Wolves, to quote Brad Stevens. I love that they're saying, yeah, screw it. Go guard Carmelo Anthony. It's October. Just go. You know, whatever. You're 19. Here's a guy that's going to be a Hall of Famer. Just come off a gold medal Olympics. Go ahead, go try to guard him. Fail. Yeah. That to me, I love it because failure at this point in his career is much more important than success, because the success can be a part of his physical ability, but the failure is because he's not smart enough. His failure is he is not going to fail because his physical ability has betrayed him, like
no,
a Paul Pierce.
That does not betray you.
That does not betray him. He is going to fail because of basketball knowledge. So anytime you can throw him out there to fail is good, from my opinion.
John,
I think
John,
anytime you go out there,
failure from young Jalen
absolutely.
Brown.
I am not even playing. Like, I think you just throw him out there and let him fail as much as possible, because that. In his head, that's a learning opportunity. His physical ability will carry him through a lot, but the failure is basketball knowledge, and you need to learn that. I would rather have him fail now than later on. So I think that's a great thing. I love what Brad Stevens is doing with him. Tell him, go guard Carmelo and just get eaten alive. And then you can put the film on and say, here are all the ways that you failed. Here's all that you need to do to get better. This is Carmelo Anthony. He's old. He's an old guy on a mediocre team, and he's crushing you. He's a Hall of Famer, but he's in the back end of his career, and he is crushing you.
Let's not act like he's washed up. The man can still play.
He's not washed up, but he is crushing you. And then we're going to try to tell you to go guard LeBron? Come on. Like, I'm just saying, this is all good stuff for Jaylen to learn. This is a great learning experience.
Agreed. And he, honestly, every single game, he does something that's next level. Like, that so few guys can do.
Yeah.
At his
he
size,
does.
At his
he does.
Athleticism. Every single game, there's like two or three plays where you just say, whoa, not a lot of guys can do that. And honestly, like, when's the last guy the Celtics had that wow-ness to him? I can't even remember.
Like, I mean,
there are
beyond Jeff Green, like, and I don't want to make, I do not take that as a comparison, because I hate that comparison.
But
he's the last guy that had that potential.
But Jeff Green's wild moments were all dunks, right? Like,
right.
Like Jaylen Brown, he had a wild moment in the low post, like.
Yes,
out of nowhere,
I know. You
like,
post that
like
too.
Beautiful footwork, the drop step to the baseline, bam. And then he had a wild moment on the baseline, like drives to his left, slows down, jumps off the wrong foot, like hangs over the defender knowing that he can get his shot off as easily as he wants and just kind of floats it in. Like, that's something not a lot of guys can do. And that's something, like, there are just so many ways that he's had wow moments. It's not like he's just going and dunking on people. That would be one thing. Like, cool, you can jump. He is doing some next level stuff in so many different varieties. And obviously, it's not all, like, his game is not all together yet. It's like a puzzle right now. Like, there are pieces scattered everywhere. But sometime in the future, that puzzle is going to come together. And if it comes together like it should, oh, wow. That kid's got a lot of potential.
This is why I love the situation that he's in, because he's not being asked to carry the load for the Celtics, and he's being coached by a staff that is above and beyond most NBA staffs. Brad Stevens understands, his staff understands what goes into building a successful player. So I trust Brad Stevens and his staff to coach this guy the right way. And again, there's no pressure to go out there and perform and enhance any bad habits. He doesn't have to go out there and just rely on his athleticism to carry teams to wins. If he's doing things the wrong way, the Celtics can sit him and give him a DNP for two or three games and not suffer greatly. It's not like Philly lost Ben Simmons and his injury just crushes them for a little bit. But let's say he was healthy. You can't just give him DNPs. But the Celtics can give Jaylen Brown DNPs and say, you're doing it the wrong way. Here's how you do it. Learn it in practice. And once we feel like you're comfortable, then we can get you out there to try to apply it. So I think the situation, and as I've said a million times on this show, situation matters. And I think Jaylen is in a great situation in Boston. So I am very, very encouraged by his physical ability to do a lot of these things and the coaching staff's ability to teach him the things that he needs to learn.
There you go. That left hand around the back pass too, man.
Woo. That was sweet. That was sweet. Woo. Great recognition. That was the amazing play of the preseason. I thought it was a brilliant play. I loved it.
Brilliant.
Okay. Brilliant. So those are the lessons that we've learned this preseason, that Al Horford is amazing.
Algasms everywhere.
Algasm right there. The starting five with Amir Johnson in the starting five and Olynyk off the bench, we're on board with that. Smart and Rozier were a little bit at odds. I think you're a little more on the fence, but I'm more definite that I love Smart as the primary ball handler. And I think we're kind of on the same page with Jaylen Brown getting more minutes than Gerald Green, but that's kind of a fluid thing. So we'll see how it goes. So this is Sunday night, where you're going to listen to this on Monday. Monday night, the Celtics will be playing a preseason game. So another game against the Brooklyn freaking Nets. God, can we play like the Central Division or something?
I hate the Atlantic Division games in the preseason.
God, man, Jesus.
The Celtics play the Nets four times in the regular season. That's not enough? That's not enough for you goddamn schedule.
Can we play the Pacers? Why can't we play the Raptors? They're in the division.
Yeah.
We play somebody else? But no. So by the time you listen to the show, we're getting ready for the freaking Nets on Monday. We'll do a post-game podcast, I guess, because we have to again. And then they play the Knicks on Wednesday. I just don't give a shit, man. I don't give a shit. And then the season openers a week later against the Nets.
Hey, 1-0, baby. 1-0 smells pretty good.
Jesus Christ. At least we got the Bulls after that. But anyway, all right, I'm calming down. That's the podcast, everybody. Hey, remember, subscribe to us if you haven't already. If you have, please, 5-star ratings. That helps us out. It boosts our ratings. We're in the top 200.
And our egos.
But I'm trying to be low-key about that, Jay. I'm trying to be low-key about that. Play it cool, man.
I can't play it cool, man. I got to tell people my ego needs a little boosting sometimes, you know?
Sure.
I can use the...
That helps. Look, yeah. It does. You know, look, when people tell you you're pretty, it makes you feel good. Just
I don't think
let us
ever
know.
Told either of us that, John.
Well, maybe not you. Rate us 5 stars. Tell us we're pretty by rating us 5 stars. Please let us know we're the bell of the ball and help us out. Please check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network because we really are, statistically speaking, the fastest growing audio network in the world. It's actually true because we've got a ton of great podcasts from across the NBA for every NBA team. So subscribe to all of those if you want, or if you don't, when the Celtics play other teams, just go listen, search for those other Locked On, whatever other team the Celtics are playing, and listen to that Locked On podcast, and you'll get a good sense of what the opponent is doing, and we'll do a lot of these crossover shows. So it's going to be a lot of great stuff, and we're really happy to be part of this network. It's a great network, and podcasts, just so easy to consume this information, and you know, you could just, you know, if you're driving to work or if you're in the gym or whatever, it's just a great way to be a part of this whole process. So please do that. In the meantime, come back tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the Celtics and the goddamn Nets again. Somehow me or Jay or Sam or somebody, we're all going to talk about it somehow. But this is the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network.